Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Welcome to this worship service on this last Sunday of March. And welcome to those who are listening on the radio. We hope this service will fill you with the Holy Spirit and with some joy. I was filled with joy when I saw all this toilet paper down here. Nobody gets more excited than I do about toilet paper. Because if you're stuck having to use food stamps, you cannot buy toilet paper. And I just feel that's a basic need. So I often hand out toilet paper at Northwest Neighborhood Outreach Center, and that's where I'll be going with this. So thank you. What a joy to see. Okay, are there other announcements that should be made?
We want to take this time, Pastor Mary, to thank you for being our interim pastor during the month of March. It's been a blessing to have you with us.
This is for you.
There's a butterfly on it.
Yes. There's a butterfly, yes. Along with the toilet paper.
I thought the toilet paper was enough. That's great. Thank you. Joy. It's always a joy to be here. I really enjoy coming and sharing with you. All right, if there are no other announcements, let us take some time to center ourselves, take a deep breath as we begin to get ready for worship. And now let us join together in our call to worship. Come to worship and recognize your own unworthiness. As we look to God, we hear words of welcome and forgiveness. Let us pray together.
Holy God, we come before you thankful that you love us as we are. We are creatures of your hand. We are a community formed by your Spirit.
You are the potter, we are the clay. With your sure and loving hands, shape us through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Reading this morning comes from Luke 15, 1 through 3, and 11b through 32. Tax collectors and sinners were all crowding around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses started grumbling. This man is friendly with sinners. He even eats with them. Then Jesus told them this story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything when a bad famine spread through the whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pig. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am, starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I'm no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers.'" The younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I'm no longer good enough to be called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but it has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found." And they began to celebrate. The older son had been out in the field, but when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, "What's going on here?" The servant answered, "Your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf." The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, "For years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you, but you have never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. This son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast." His father replied, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and has now been found." God's word for God's people.
Everything.
Little did I know when I wrote the title that you see on the front of your bulletins, The God of New Beginnings. Little did I know what that would really mean. At the beginning of March, I wrote this. New beginnings are with us. It's time to begin again. That has new meaning for us this morning. I had no idea that Natalie would be moving. I had no idea that this church would be shaken up once again. Yet that's just the way that Jesus meant us to be, to hear that story that Elaine read to us this morning. Jesus meant this story, this parable, to wake up those complacent folks who thought they had it all together. And for us, this parable was meant to take life as we know it and turn it around and upside down so that we might be challenged once again. The reason? To show us that God can turn our churches around, our lives around, that what it is to be a Christian means being radical in the world's eyes, even in the 21st century. This story may not sound radical to us until we take a new look at the culture of the time. First of all, families were more than biological in those days. Yes, there were children born to men and women who lived together in family homes, but the entire village was also part of the family. People were not individualistic. They depended upon each other for their livelihood. They grew crops together, raised animals in relationship to each other. The community was more important than it is today because they needed each other to survive. In this sense of community, sons did not ask for their inheritance while their fathers were living. To do so would cause hostility in the community. There is no known Jewish text that implies that a son could ask for his inheritance on his own initiative. Therefore, this story is about a son who goes against the rules of society. This is a story about a son who is a rebel, the prodigal son, we call him. Also, this is an agrarian society. There are rules for a man of wealth, a landowner, as this father in this parable is described as being. He was a man who walked solemnly wherever he went. Hiking up flowing robes in order to run not only lacks dignity, it inappropriately exposes his legs to public view and hence causes dishonor. He never ran unless his house was on fire or some other emergency was happening. So the father's running out to meet the son upon his return was an emergency, for the father knew that the village would be hostile upon the son's return. And they would kill him. He ran to meet the son, to save the son's life. By hastening to the edge of the village, the father preempts hostile village reaction, signaling by his kiss and embrace that the errant son is under his protection. The best robe in the house would have been the one that the father wore for ceremonial occasions. The robe, the ring, and the shoes for his feet would have been signs that the younger son was being accepted as a member of the household rather than a servant or a hired hand. Since cooked meat would spoil quickly, if not eaten right away, there was no refrigeration. A party for which a whole calf was provided implies a very large gathering of people, probably the entire village. By coming to this party, the villagers are saying that they accept the father's wish to bring his son back into the family and the village. Then there was the good son, who stayed at home and helped keep the crops growing and the animals taken care of. He kept the farm running. The elder son, initially a model of propriety, whom the village would have applauded, seriously insults his father at the public gathering by refusing to accept the father's judgment. He fails to use the title father, present throughout the rest of the story. He attacks the restored younger brother, whose reincorporation has been recognized by the father and the villagers in their attendance at that party. So he insults the villagers as well. Since the younger son has no property, he will have to live as part of the elder son's household. Sounds like an interesting time to come in future years, doesn't it? The reversal in the story comes when the one who sounded evil at the beginning of the story turns out to be good, and the one who sounded good at the beginning of the story turns out to be evil. It's difficult to tell about family or church loyalty. It's difficult to know how to live in a family or in a church. The rules keep changing. Now, I'm not implying that all good-sounding folks will turn out evil and all the evil-sounding children will turn out good by any means. All I'm saying is, with God, anything is possible. That's the message that comes through again and again through this parable. Jesus is saying that God is in the business of changing lives. And he goes against the customs of the day to make his point. So, what does that mean for you and me nearly 20 years into the 21st century, which is nearly 2,000 years after Jesus? What does it mean for our churches today in these troubled, tumultuous times? How do we live as Christian people in a world that laughs at many Christian values? I say, follow Jesus, the radical family man. I would like to offer to you 7 levels of care of people in the church that I think will follow what Jesus is trying to tell us in this parable. The first level is, know this church. Really ask this church questions about church life. Do you know why this church does things the way they do? Do you know what our youth are thinking about? Have some church forums that discuss life. And when someone says something that turns the church system upside down a bit, don't discard it, but talk about it. That's how new ideas are born. Number 2 is, be a support system for each other in this church. And you do pretty well with this one, but you can always do better. Can members really count on one another? Do you attend other events in the town together? Do you invite new people in to sit with you? Why do you do that or why don't you do that? Could you be supportive of some new ideas that may come down the pike? Number 3, help this church to good health by encouraging everyone to be healthy, to drink lots of water and eat nutritious foods. That sounds simple, but in a day and age of soda machines and fast food on nearly every street corner, we need to pay more attention to what we're putting into our mouths and into our bodies. We aren't an agrarian society anymore. Few people grow their own food anymore. This church has a closeness to farmers who grow the food, and fresh fruits and vegetables abound. It stands close by. This one is an easy one for people of this church. Number four, allow the church to be a safe place to talk about your feelings. Emotional healing is so important, and it's important that those at church hear our hurts and help us heal by holding folks' feelings in confidence. And that's so important, the confidence part. Having all the answers isn't possible, but if we can simply listen to each other, some healing can take place. If we can trust that our emotions will be honored and not laughed at within our church, then we will be more likely to talk about what's deepest inside of us. Number five, help this church to continue to develop the belief system. What do we believe about God, and how do we share our beliefs with each other? Do we believe that God can change anything? Do we talk to our youth about what we believe and ask them questions about what they believe? It can be surprising. We may not think that the children are paying attention, but when we ask them, we find out differently. How do we share our faith on a daily basis? Take more time for prayer, not only at meals, but other places too, and see what a difference it makes in this church's life. Read some Bible stories at home and take turns reading. You'll be amazed at how youth as well as adults can relate these stories to their lives. And number six, take time to assess where the church has been and where you would like to see it go. What are some successes? What would you like to do in the future as a church? What about what we do together as a church is fun and helpful? Where are you in all of this? And number seven, dare to be different from the culture. The father and the son in this story were very different from their culture. They didn't accept the rules of society as gospel. They both ventured out in different ways to create something new. Be creative with this church. A new pastor will come in with some new ideas. Take time to just listen to what they are. You might be surprised. But first comes grieving time for Natalie. She will be back in this pulpit next Sunday, as I said. It's a bittersweet time for all of you. My prayers are with you as you go through the next 3 months. I know it's not going to be easy. I believe that God is about making connections and changing lives so that everyone has someone to care for them. Not just care for what they are wearing or that they have a roof over their heads, but caring for their souls. Do you have a need as a human being? Is your soul weary or hurting in any way, and you'd like to be able to share that hurt in your church? Are you just curious about how life could be different if there weren't so much societal pressure on doing, doing, doing? God has answers for these questions and many more that you can think of. That's part of what my ministry is always about. Relating to persons and churches that are hurting and helping them find a way to heal. Thank you for all the love that I have felt while I have worked among you. You all have been welcoming and cooperative. Thank you is such a little phrase, but that's all I can say over and over again as I look at all this wonderful toilet paper in front of me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, and God bless you as you continue this ministry here in this place. Amen. Amen. May it be so. And I don't know that I ever get applauded for my sermon, so thank you very much. Now let us sing our hymn.
Thank you.
Receive this benediction. Go forth in Christ's name to transform existence, to bring consolation to the desperate, hope to the hungry, reconciliation to a community and to a divided world. Go in peace. Amen.
This has been The God of New Beginnings with Pastor Mary Martin, originally broadcast March 31st, 2019. Mary offers 7 suggestions for congregations of churches facing new situations, using ours as an example. How to turn the challenges of the unknown into opportunities for growth and newness.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.